Today's daf in the Sechet Shabbat is daf Kuf Nun Hey. I'm holding on Kuf Nun Dalet Amud Beit, five lines from the bottom. So today, yesterday we spoke about the question of whether you can utilize the side of a tree, Tzidei Ilanot. And this was Benogia, if somebody had a sukkah that was supported on a tree. So the question over there was whether, how much of it, if it was able to be a stand on its own, or whether it was connected directly to the tree. It turned out that it was not clear what the halacha was. It got to be the side of the tree. In other words, you put in, let's say, a hole in the tree, and then you put something into that hole. And now you were utilizing the piece of wood that you put into the hole. So shall we say, says the Gemara today, Lema Kitanoi, shall we say that the machlokes as to whether Tzidei Ilanois are mutarim on Shabbos, Yantiv is a machlokes tanoi. Because it says like this, a continuation of the Braita, Eino lin la b'yom tov, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer mishum Rabbi Meir, olim la b'yom tov. So over here again, we have the sides of the sukkah, where a side of the sukkah is supported by a tree. We're assuming that obviously nobody would have been matir directly if the wall was a tree. It must be that it was mechuber to the tree on the side of the tree. So apparently the machlok is therefore between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says, Mishum Rabbi Meir Olim Labi Yom Tov is Baal Kamiflaget. The Mar Savat Tzedadim Asurim, Umar Savat Tzedadim Mutarim. Omer Abaye, not necessarily. You can't prove that from here. It might be that the Kulei Amot Tzedadim Asurim, maybe both of these Tanaim would hold that you cannot use even a shelf that would be supported in a hole that you put into the side of a tree. But what we'd be talking about over here is Bitsidei Tzedadim Kamiflaget. Suppose you inserted a peg into the tree, and now you attach something on the other side of the peg, such as the wall of the sukkah. So there is the question whether Tzidei Tzedadim is mutar or asur. The Marzavar Tzidei Tzedadim Asurim, Umarzavar Tzidei Tzedadim Mutarim. That's what I would suggest. Therefore, you can't bring a raya from here that anybody holds that tzedadim or mutarim. Whereas Rava says, that makes no sense. If you hold that there's a gezera of ilanos min hatzad, then what's the difference? How many steps away it is? Man de osar bit tzedadim, asar nami bit tzedei tzedadim. Man de shori bit tzedei tzedadim. If you're going to tell me that it would be mutter to use a wall that's screwed into a peg that's inserted into a tree, so then it would be mutter tzedadim also, because basically, either we're saying that there's one gezerah, that anything mechuber to an ilan is osar, or we're saying the use of an ilan is osar, but when you don't use the ilan directly, it's not osar. Now, how do you get this idea if it's a little bit further away? Eitvei Remesharsha LaRava, Remesharsha proves to Rava that there must be a difference between Tzedadim and Tzedei Tzedadim against his opinion that it's an either-or situation. Because here it says, Na'atz Yateid Bi'idan, if you stuck a peg into the side of a tree, and now on that peg, you hang a kalkalash al perot, or a hammock. It's a very common situation. Now the question is, can you make an eruv using the food that's in that kalkala? This is the case here. Obviously the question that would be more nogea usually is, can you use the hammock? So here the shayla is like this. There, the case over there is that if the kalkala is l'mala mi'asara tvachim, so then the Eruv turns out to be in Rishut HaYachid, because the sides of the kalkala are considered to go down, as we saw earlier in the Masechta, and they are therefore the equivalent of an amud of asara tvachim. Generally, a kalkala is arbal arba tvachim, which means that it now becomes a true Rishut HaYachid. There's no way that you could be in Rishut HaRabim, where you were in Miyachet, the place where you're going to be Shovet on Shabbat, and eat the food in that Rishut HaYachid. You can't take it out of the Rishut HaYachid. Therefore, the klal is, Hu b'makom echad ve'iruvo b'makom acher, that's not an Eruv, because there'd be no way to get that food. If it's l'mata me'asara tvachim, then Eruvo Eruv, because it's not a Rishut HaYachid. Tosfos says, may not be Rishut HaYachid, but it's still a Carmelite, isn't it? Carmelite is anything that is above Shlosha Tvachim until Asar Tvachim, which is Arba Arba. Says Tosfos, the rule that we've seen many times before, Ein Carmelite Bekeli. The Carmelite were not mocked, but to give it in a Carmelite with a Kli. Okay. But in any event, the question over here is a side point, not only the side of the tree. And that is because it says here, look how this case is constructed. Na'at yated be'ilan. You put a peg in the ilan and you hung the basket on a peg. Why can't we talk about a normal case? You hung the basket on a branch of the tree. Who the heck would go make an air of drill a hole in the tree, put a peg, and then hang? Must be because the Tana is obviously defining the difference between Sidei Ilan, which would have been a basket on a tree, where there you're taking out of the basket, you're using the tzedakah of the ilan, or a basket hanging on a hook, which has been screwed into a tree, which is tzedakah tzedakah. And there, the bichlal would never be an eruv, because there'd be no way you can use that basket if it were directly on the tree, because it would be tzedakah ilan, right? Okay, so from there you see that halo na'at, even if it was lamatami asara tvachim, if the basket was hanging directly on the tree, then ain't any ruvo eruv. Now I ask you, Rabba, how high tana kahasa b'tzedakim? This tana is telling you can't use a basket hanging on a tree, which is tzedakah ilan, and yet it's being matir if you screwed in a hook and put the basket on the hook. How do you explain that? You said it's either or. Either you hold that all things that they use in ilan are asur, or you hold that all things that use the ilan are mut, other than the ilan itself. Amrav Papa, well, we can answer that. Because maybe here, we're not talking about a normal wide open kalkala. We're talking about a kalkala in which it's hard to get your hand into the opening. So over there, if it's a kalkala dechuka, then by forcing your hand in, you move the tree. And b'hadi dekashakalei later, the only way to get the food out is by moving the tree. And then you're being mishamish with the ilan directly. And it's not because of stodim. It's not stodim. What Newton figured out? Yeah, something like that. V'yokata, stodim asurim v'tzidek stodim ar mutarim. Now, halacha we paskin that there is a difference. Let's just ask, why indeed is this not one of the cases of Yahal Kigan? We're paskin like Abaya against Rava. Abaya was the one who said that there's a difference between tzedakah and tzedakah tzedakah, and Rava got all upset and said it's an either-or situation. Turns out that Abaya was right. Very interesting, right? So I don't know. Why in the world do we not include this in the list of those issues that we possibly like Abaya? Anyway, Omer of Ash, now that we've come out with this halacha, I want to point out some issues. Ash, I'm at tzedakah masurim. People that need to put up a ladder to get up to some place, which they often lean against the tree to be able to climb up the ladder. So, high darga the midla, lo lin chidish adikla. Don't lean the ladder against the tree itself, because then when you climb the ladder, you're utilizing tzedakah and tzedakah marasa. But what you can do is you can screw a couple of just pieces of wood onto the tree. Then the ladder can stick onto those pieces of wood, and then it's pressing not on the ilan directly. Then it's tzedakah tzedakah, and then you could climb up the ladder. As long as you're careful that kisalik, when you use the ladder, make sure that your feet climb when you get to that point only on the rung of the ladder. Don't put the feet directly on the pieces of wood that the ladder is against. That's all. That way you'll never kisalik lolina kari agavazi. Don't put it on those pieces of wood. Elolitna hakanim, put it directly on the ladder rungs. Zokei the commissioner. Matirin pikiei amir lifnei habeima umefas vesinata kipin avalo eta zirin ozratin. Now, what exactly all these things are, major machlokas in the Gemara. Let's just discuss what the issue here is in the Mishnah before we figure out what each piece is. The Mishnah is talking about making food usable for an animal. And we're going to see the big machlokas in the Gemara about how to understand the Mishnah. Is the Mishnah saying that if the animal would be unable to eat the food, then you can make it edible for it? But if anyway the animal could eat the food, so then you're stomping tereach shelo letzarach, you don't have to make things luxurious. If they're edible, there's nothing more that needs to be done. Or just the opposite. Are you not allowed to make a food edible? Because that would be the equivalent of creating the food on Shabbat. So it would be molid. But once it's food, so then you make it as easy to eat as possible, as attractive as possible, as appetizing as possible. Two completely opposite approaches, according to which we will have to be mefarish the words in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah, of course, this is, by the way, this is the classic Mishnah that uses words in such a way that could have opposite meanings but totally opposite meanings. We're going to see why this is the classic, just in order to keep you guessing. Because remember, one of the main issues of a Mishnah, one of Rebbe's geniuses, was that he was able to write Mishnayos that don't make any particular sense, but have multi-level interpretations, each one of which stands. And because of that, he was less magdir Tereshe Baal Peh, which is, of course, the reason for the Isser of writing Tereshe Baal Peh. So he spent a tremendous amount of time. The Gemara says he had 13 different levels of interpretation of every Mishnah. So he wasn't able to include all 70 Panim of Terah, but 13 he included. So over here, this is a beautiful Mishnah. It's almost comic, the way that we're able to interpret the Mishnah against what your intuitive interpretation might be. So you're allowed to take apart the packages of animal food, of straw, hay, in front of an animal, and you can be mefasfes kipin. Now, it's not clear exactly what that is. Mefasfes means spread it out, and so on. The practice is, you've got a pile, it's going to be hard for the animal to eat it, so you spread it around, and that way it's easier for it to eat. Or it could be it's more appetizing, because if it's all put together, it doesn't emit as much smell. Yeah, but when you open it up, yummy, smell that delicious hay, and it really gets turned on. But not the zradi. Okay, what exactly that is, we're not clear, we're going to talk about. Ein maraskin, you can't make it thinner by rubbing it and spreading it. Lo at ha-shachat, v'lo at ha-charuvim. So shachat is the early one-third growth grain, where we would cut down, and then it would grow back full, so you basically get an extra one-third that's used for animal feed. And you cannot take charuvim and be marasik it to make it into tiny pieces. Lifnei beima, ben daka ben gasa. Whether this is a large or small animal, you can't do it. We'll wait till the Gemara to see what the issue might be. So again, either it's tircha shelo letzorach, because it's already food, or it's because it's being married with macha. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'charuvim ladaka. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, a duck. Now what this seems to be saying is, we're going to have a very rough time to explain this according to both of those approaches, because what he seems to be saying is, if it's a small animal, it won't be able to eat charuvim, because it has very, very thin, undeveloped teeth yet. And therefore, you're allowed to cut it up into tiny pieces. But that would mean that the explanation of Mishnah would be that you're allowed to make the food edible, but you're not allowed to go beyond that. Otherwise, why would he say l'daka? That there's a difference. Okay, but we'll get to all of this. I'm just putting you on notice. You could see the possibilities here. Om Rav Huna, let me explain to you the way I understand the Mishnah, okay? I think that basically the Pekiyei Amir and the Kipin that follows, the Fasfasinata Kipin, they are basically the same thing. They are bundles of grains. Now, the Pekiyin has two strings around it, one at the top and one at the bottom, and the Kipin has three strings around it. And when it's talking about you can do the Mefasfasin, it's on both of them. There's no difference. But when it says Avolo et Azirin, oh, now we're talking about something else. Zirin are branches of an erez, and therefore, very soft branches. Normally, when you break off those branches, you just let them dry and use them for firewood. However, when they are still fresh, and they're just budding branches, they're edible by an animal. So therefore, what the Mishnah is saying is basically like this. Matirin pikiye amir lifnei behema umifas fesin. It doesn't mean umifas fesin at akipin. Umifas vesin, both of them, and kipin, vuad in the kipin, because both of those things are considered to be food. But you cannot take zirin, neither to do anything. You can't be matir the packages of erez. You can't be mefasfes the parts of the erez, because the arazim are basically not considered to be food, because they weren't set aside for food. And you want to make them food in this way, by spreading them out and softening them. That you're not allowed to do. Om Rav Chisda, so what you're going to say? Let's get a sheet. By time, Rav Huna, he holds like this. If something is a food, then you can make it more appetizing. So whether that is spreading it out or softly rubbing it in your fingers, whatever. So l'mitrach b'ulch, if it's already a food, tachina. But to make something a food is like being molded on Shabbos, lo mashmina. And therefore the erez, you would be making into food, that you can't do. Rav Yehuda has exactly the opposite explanation of Mishnah. And he says, no, on the contrary, pekiyin and zirin are the same thing. Not the zirin is a different thing. So the difference between Pekin is Trey, and Zirin is Tilata. Whereas the keeping is the thing that's the Eretz. Now here's, therefore, how to read the Mishnah. You can be matir the strings on a pikiye amir, on packages of hay, in front of a behema, but you cannot spread it around with your hand. You cannot be pispusi. When it comes to the keeping you can even be mifas face. So according to me, the keeping, in other words, we're talking about fesfusfilo. The keeping nami mifas fesin, because if you won't be mifas fesin, so then you basically won't be able to eat it at all. But the zirin, we're not being mad to you, lefas feis, but we are being mad to you to untie. What is the svar in all of the summer of my time at a rebuta? He holds exactly the opposite of Ravuna. He holds that you're only allowed to make something edible. You cannot go beyond making it edible. That's the point. So if it's already, however, edible, then you're just doing a tircha. And mitrach beuchlin lo tarchina. You cannot go ahead and do a tircha. So if the pekin and the zirin are both basically, we're being matir. So what he's saying is, when something is tied, it's not considered to be an earthen. There's no way for the animal to get at it. And therefore, it's not even food. However, you need to untie it and make it food that you're allowed to. But pispuse, what do you have to be mufasfis for? To what? To make it more appetizing? The animal's hungry, it'll eat. So you don't have to spread it out. It could just grab it and pull at it because it's already an ochlin. However, the keeping, which is eretz, without fisfus, it's bichlal not considered to be a food because it's not something the animal will go for. It identifies it as branches. So because of that, you need to be mufasfis. So there, that, yes. The zirin, which the way I understand it means it has three, it's tied in three places, you cannot be mefasfes. You can only be matir for the same reason. That if you take it apart, so then it's already edible and the animal knows it's food. And the only thing that you can do is make it edible. So you make it edible by taking out all three strings that are around it. And therefore, everything makes perfectly good sense, but in the opposite direction. And that means that we have to be able to define the words in two directions. Now, Tznan, Eimera, Skinat HaShachat V'Tacharuvim, Lifnei Be'ima, Ben Daka Ben Gaza. Look, the Mishnah says that you can't soften the Shachas, which is the one-third of one grain, or Charuvim. Now, there's not much in common between Shachat and Charuvim. So obviously the Tana is trying to give us a hint as to how to understand the Mishnah, right? So it must be saying that the standard is, my lab, Charuvim dum yed shachas. The standard of food for animals is shachas. Now, charuvim generally are pretty hard. We put together charuvim with shachas to let you know that just like shachas is clearly something that is soft, we're talking about charuvim that are soft. And if you're not allowed to be merasek, to cut it up, to make it easier, what is that telling you? That ama lo tachinan du'uchla. If it's already edible, don't work on it any further. So that's a tiyuf to Ravuna. Says Ravuna, no, that's not what it means. It means just the opposite. Charuvim is the model. Now, charuvim is generally pretty tough stuff. And an animal's like, you can barely get that down when it comes to to Bishvat, right? So the charuvim are akushi. So we must be talking about the shachat is akushi. It's very hard shachat, and therefore you're allowed to soften it. Oh, come on, what do you mean very hard shachat? I mean, it's animal feed, it's hay. There's no such thing. Where would you find a case like that? Where you're dealing with newborn, young chamorim, so you have ili zutre, and they can't yet eat shachas. What's so hard to understand? Is that the shachas is particularly hard? Is that for the animal that you need to give it to, you need to be able to make it soft so that they can eat it? That's the point. Which is consistent with the way I'm learning the Mishnah. Okay, let's take a look at this. Tashma. Rabbi Yehuda is matir, as we pointed out in the Mishnah, cutting up charuvim for a small animal. Now, what could that possibly mean? So you see, only to a small animal, but for a gasalo. So now look, if you're telling me that the Tanakama holds that you could be toreach You can only make something in oichel. You can only be mashvi mashvi. You can only make something in oichel. But you can't go beyond that. So that would explain why Rabbi Yehuda was saying that for a small animal, cutting up a karuvim is called making it an oichel, because it could never chew on a karuv. But if you're going to try to tell me that the Tanakama Svara is over here, that you can dafka be tereach an oichel but not make oichel. See, Yamrit, Tanakama Svara shivui oichel lo mashvina, never turn anything into an oichel, which is what Ravuna says. And only mitrach buchla mitrachina. It's only if it already is an ochel that you can. So then Rav Yehuda makes no sense. Because if Rav Yehuda was being matir charuvim to a daka, kol shekein it's to a gasa. Because then Rav Yehuda would be saying that, well, you should know that it's still considered to be a tircha in an ochel. So that means that even for behemoth daka, charuvim are edible. And once it's edible, you're allowed to make it more attractive by making it softer or smaller pieces. So kol shekein, it would be edible without that to a gasa, and therefore should be mutter. So then Rav Yehuda is going in the wrong direction. No, how crazy can you get? Did you think gasa meant a large animal? Gasa means a small animal. My gasa daka. You want to know how far Rebbe went to get you confused in this Mishnah? He called the behema daka a gasa. Come on, why would you call a behemoth daka a gasa? Mi sabra daka, daka mamash? No, my daka gasa. Va mai kori la daka? Why do you call a behemoth gasa behemoth daka? This I got to hear. There's a way to use the word in an opposite way. It doesn't mean daka, it means medaika. Because a behemoth gasa chews its food very well. So it's daika ba'ucha. And since it chews its ochlin very well, so that's what he's saying. So mamela for behemoth gasa, you can eat charuvim. So therefore, we're telling you that only for behemoth gasa, not for a daka. Amazing. As long as you could fit it in and say, okay, Rebbe was having fun. So, okay. I mean, surely you didn't think of behemoth gasa means behemoth gasa, do you? I mean, daka means a daka. I mean, it must mean a gasa. I love it. All right, so this is like the Mishnah. You can do whatever you want with. Yes, the Gemara, that would all be very nice if we hadn't, unfortunately for you, used the word bein begasa, bein bedaka before. Okay, well, clearly it was a reference to bein begasa, bein bedaka. So, bein dakasa, if you tell me to tell me reisha, bein dakau, bein gasa, so now obviously Rabbi Yehuda was saying, no, only daka. Kasha, no, that might be a little bit of a problem. Actually, maybe a behemoth daka really does mean a behemoth. Oh, well, can't win them all. Tashma, let's see if we can bring a raya from here. Mechatchina tadilu in lifnei behemah. Here also we have two cases that don't usually go together. Cutting up pumpkins for a behemoth and cutting up a dead animal for dogs. Now, I assume putting those things together is to tell me that the duluim are similar to the nevela. Just like a nevela is soft, and you're just making it easier, right? So it's rechicha, duluim is also rechicha. And it's mashma, you could be toreach, blah, blah, blah. In which case, it's a tiyuf to the Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda says you can only make it available to the animal, but you can't make it appetizing and go to more tircha to make it more than that. No, maybe it's the other way around. Maybe we're talking about an avela, which is so difficult to eat that it's like trying to eat a hard pumpkin. And just like deluin are tough to eat, ashuni, this navela is ashuni. And well, obviously, where would you find it? We're clearly talking about elephant navela. I mean, that must be what the Mishnah is referring to.
The
bright patch, right? So if it's an elephant corpse, then that's really tough, you know? And busted the pili, that's really tough. And because of that, you could cut it up. Or, you know what, maybe we're talking about little tiny doggies. They're newborns. How are they going to chew even on an avela? For little tiny doggies, newborns, guraita, over there, zutri, you have to cut up even soft meat because even that, even on avela, would be too hard for them. Okay, so no raya from here either.
I just have to tell you, there's a whole seminar in Tel Aviv University on man eating elephant meat and the use of elephant meat in ancient society because it provided fat and protein.
There you go.
It's a major issue.
Tashma. The Tani Rav Chanan min Ardo, Mifarchinan Teven Vaspasta Uma Arvim, that you are allowed to be to soften up your teva and aspasta, and you can even mix them together and make an animal feed out of it. And even though these things are edible on their own, which proves that you can make a animal food more attractive to them. Doesn't this prove that you can? No, says the Gemara, it may be talking about tivna. Tevin is tivna sarya. It may be rotting tevin, which if you don't actually mix it, it's not going to be even edible. And aspasta may be talking about young chamorim who cannot eat just plain aspasta, and therefore you're making them the actual food itself by mixing it here together with the tevin vaspasta. And now a word from our
Dr. Heilige Mishnah.
Ein ofsin et hagamal velo dorsin. Another one of these Mishnayot that leaves everything wide open by using words that we cannot give a particular definition to. We'll see here too. The question is, what exactly are we doing? So the minhag was to force food down an animal's throat. And of course, this is one of the reasons that today the livers, there's this whole problem, because they do this also to the fancy French liver. But they used to use the gamal as the desert ship. And because of that, they would have to get a lot of fuel into the tank. So they sort of topped the tank of the gamal. And the way they do this is they would force food down. Now, there's a number of different ways of forcing food down. We'll see. But Papach, this we're referring to, putting the food forcibly in the mouth of the animal and then pressing it into the gullet. You cannot be oves the gamal, you cannot be dores the gamal, but you can be mal'it the gamal. Whatever that is, we're going to need to define these terms in different ways in the Gemara. Ve'in ma'amirin et ha'agalim, aval mal'itin u'mahalketin l'tarnagolim. So again, we're not quite certain what level of forcible feeding this is. We're going to discuss it in a moment. Minotnin mayim l'mursan, you're allowed to mix water into the bird feed. Avalogo of lean, but you cannot knead the water together with the mursan, because that would be doing a leisha. You can't pour water out for your bees on a hot day, because we're going to see, again, there's two possible, I'll tell you in a moment, are two possible approaches, and you cannot put water in front of yonim that are in the shovach, where yona in a shovach is free to come and go as it pleases. They will come and land in these bird, what do they call it?
Loops.
These are called dovecotes. When you make a little birdhouse, they're equivalent to little birdhouses. You recognize the bird can come and go as it wants. So a dovecote is also the equivalent, except it has many, many little cells in it, and the yonim can come. They're there about the thousands, and they come and go. Now there's two possible explanations, therefore, about mayim. One would be that the dvorim and the yonim shebeshovach, because they come and go freely, they get their own. But the other possibility is that because they come and go freely, they're none of your business. You don't do business. My gosh. There's something to that. You can give water in front of your geese and your chickens and even in front of yonim that live in the house. So they're Hordusian yonim. Okay, let's take the mishnah from the top. When you say ein ofsim, what does that mean? Omer Rav Yehuda, ein ofsim la'evus betoch me'ah. You don't turn the stomach of the camel into a feeding trough. What? Mi'ika kai gavna? You could put so much food in there that it's the equivalent of a feeding trough? And that it would just live off of for a while? Ein, absolutely. Kiram Rav Yirmiyah midifti. I once saw an Arab who pulled into a gas station and forced down a full core of tefuah into that tank, which is ridiculous. I mean, it's like, what is it, bushels and bushels of animal feed. And then he took along a whole other container of a kur to put on its back for the next time in case he couldn't find a gas station in the desert. And that's besides what the camel was going to be carrying. So you can imagine that, you really need to stuff him. Ein ma'amirim. Okay, so you're saying you can't make a full evos. And what would be a hamra'ah? What it would be we have over here these different cases, ein ofsim and not dorsim, mal itin. What is the difference between mal itin exactly and amra? On Rav Yehuda, the Hamra'ah would be the Makom Sheneichol Alakzir. You just have to push it back into its gullet at a point that it has no ability to spit it back up. So it's gonna, you're basically forcing it down. Whereas to be Mal'it, you put it into its mouth, but it could still, if it doesn't want to swallow, it could still force it back out. Yechol Alakzir. Rav Chista says, no, that won't do you any good. It's got to both be referring to a place where you're forcing it to eat. And the only difference is that Hamra'ah, where we say, that's referring to utilizing some type of kli. But Mal'itin is a reference to using your hand. Now, there's two levels in which we discuss the two levels of an egel, we discuss the two levels of a gamal. There's clearly two levels similarly to a tarnagolim. So now, what do you understand mahalkatin and malkitin to mean? According to you, the difference between the two levels in each one of these various animals, then so we have the same two levels by tarnagolim that we have by the other two species, the gamal, the agalim. And here we're saying there's a difference between mahalkatin and malkitin. So you can be mahalkatin, for sure you can be malkitin, but you can't do either the yone shavach, you can't even be malkit. Malkit, and for sure you can't be malkit. Okay. So now, let's think about how to make this work. You're saying you can be both malkit and malkitin. According to you, the difference in the other two species was talking about whether you're using an instrument or you were using your hands. So that would mean that over here, the heter would be dafka, be using your hands. It means both of these cases you use your hands. Okay, how did you use your hand in two different ways? I mean, according to you, the difference was, you said it's always the point where you can't spit it up. So then the difference would be using your hands and forcing it down, or spreading it in front of them. The problem is, that if that's the case, then if you're saying, but for Yonei Shovach, Yonei Aliyah, you can't do either, means you couldn't even spread it in front of them. That doesn't make sense. What's wrong with just putting out something in the field? Therefore, I think it leaves us with the only other possibility, which is the difference between, as we said before, the difference between the place in which you can be Machzir and you can't be Machzir, as you explained it, when it comes to the Egel as well. So it's a Makom Sheneichol Machzir Malkitin is Makom Sheneichol Machzir. According to that, the Mishnah is matir to push it into a place where it's enyechol alachzir. And if that's the case, then the only difference in the previous cases, we've been talking about the agalim, when it comes to the hamra'ah, would have to be also a heter, even to a place where it cannot be machzir. And that would mean that the hamra'ah that the Torah answered would have to be the difference between a kli and not a kli, which is Rav Chista's approach, not your approach. In which case, it's due to Rav Yehuda. Mahalkitin means the safili biyadayim, and malkiti means you just throw the front food in front of it. Now, what are you asking me? Well, if it only means throw down food in front of it, then why would you ever be usher to throw down food in front of it? I'll tell you why. How is it possible that even lemishte kamayo namilo? Because you're not taking something into consideration. We're not dealing with the problem of the tircha. We're dealing with the problem of whether you have any right to, on Shabbos, feed at all an animal that is none of your business. So these animals, hani mizonotan alecha, animals that you are responsible for because you have a relationship with those animals, you can feed. But animals that you have no relationship with, or only a casual relationship, because they're not your responsibility. And if they're not your responsibility, you can't do anything for them. So hani en mizonot an alecha. Kiditanya, notni mizonot lifnei hakelev. You can give food to the dog, but you don't give food to the pig. Now what difference could there possibly be between a doggy and a piggy? The only difference is, my fresh brain zelo zeketin is the brighter. The difference is that you're not supposed to be growing piggies. And therefore, it's not mizonot alecha. We said, "Orura yudi shemegadel chazir." And because of that, zeh mizonot alecha, v'zeh mizonot alecha. Amar Rav Ashi, you don't need to come to a bright about doggies and piggies. You can see this directly from the Mishnah. Matnitin nami deka. Continue on reading. What does it say? Don't put out water in front of the bees and in front of the yonim shebishofach. But you can put out water for avazim, tarnagolim, and the yonim that are adusios and live with you. I mean, isn't that obvious that the only difference could be my time? There is your answer. So you see already in the Mishnah that there's such a distinction being made. Is this your responsibility? Is that your responsibility? Nah, come on. You think that's the meaning? Then why did we discuss water? We've been talking about food. Now all of a sudden we switch to water. Tell me why we switched to water. Obviously, there's got to be a difference between water and food. So my Ari, according to your approach, why discuss Maya? Because don't talk about the food. So therefore, the point is there's always water that's available around the field. So it's because Maya is shkicha ba'agma, but food may be difficult to get. So the food you are allowed to spread. Therefore, it's no raya to the difference between mizonot avalacha. Dorash Rabbi Yonah apitcha de benesia. Yonah gave a drasha. Why does it say yodea tzadik din dalim? The tzaddik knows how to deal with the poor. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tzaddiko shel olam, knows how to help a dog. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yodea v'kelev shez mizonotav muatim. Everybody, the dog comes around, everybody chases away the dog. So nobody has rachamim. Because of that, the dog takes 3 days to finish the actual digestion of what he swallows. How do we know that? Because we have a Mishnah that discusses the issue of what happens when an animal eats from a human body, a corpse. And over there, wherever the animal goes, he's going to be metame ba'oa. Because as long as that basar is not digested, it's human flesh, and it's still metame ba'oa. How long does it take? That would still be metame. Says the Mishnah, Bekelef shloshaya mimi eight light. It takes 3 days to digest it. Ubo foto bedagin, who have very fast metabolism. It's as if it fell into a fire. In other words, the same rate of oxidation. How long will it take to digest this? 2 minutes. That's how long it'll take to digest it. So over there, it's ki'ilu that it fell. Urva tisarev. Omer of Amnuna says, Rav Amnuna, you see from there, this is yodea. Tzadik din dalim. That you should also be merachim on a dog. And if there's a dog that's hungry, give it something to eat. So, orach aretz derech aretz, lemishti umtza lekalba, to give a piece of meat to the dog. Now, how much should you give the kama? Omer of Mori, as long as it's ears, you know? But then make sure that you've got a stick and you give it a whack after you feed it. Because otherwise, it's going to be living with you forever. So, the chutra batre, whack it right after you feed it. Now, all of this is only if you're walking. You're walking along, your dog is hungry, you give it a little bit of food, and then you whack it. But in the city, it doesn't help if you whack it. Knows where you live, it'll be bad. So Atil Misrach, it's going to end up driving you absolutely crazy.
But his dog.
No, not his dog. Omer of Papa, you know, there's no one as poor as a dog, and no one as rich as a chazer. A chazer eats everything, and people are always saying, throw it out to the pig, and nothing to do with it, throw it out to the pig. So it's always got something to eat. Tanya Kavasid of Yudah. Getting back to our sugya, what is Amra'a and what is Halata? Well, it says over here, in order to be Mamri, you have to be Marbitza. You have to hold the animal down on the ground, upside down, and then force its mouth open, and then you get the food in. Obviously, the only way you can do that is you liquefy it, so you mix the karshinin and the water, and you can get that in such a way that it can't spit it back up. So it's bevat achat. Hal ata ma'achila mu'umad, umashka mu'umad. And over there, notim karshinin bifnei atzma, umayim bifnei atzma. Now, if that's the case, it means if it's standing, then obviously there would be no way to force it down. So you see from here that indeed we're talking about putting it in front of the animal. Omra bayam rita tamei demar matnitin mani. Who is the Mishnah going to that says malkatin la tarnagolim, and that you're allowed to mix the water, you put the water into the mursan as long as you don't mix it together? Because we know that there is a mandi omra that says that if you just put water and kemah together, even before you mix it with your hand, you already chayav, because that's already considered to be the first step of leisha. And yet the Mishnah is being matir. Who is the man Yom that's being matir? Mani. And he told me it's got to be going alib the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya echad notenat hakemach, the echad notenat hamayim. Whoever put in something in the end, the last stage. First guy puts down some flour. Nothing wrong with putting flour in a cup. Next guy pours in the water. Uh-oh, flour, water equals lisha. Or vice versa. Nothing wrong with putting water in a cup. But the next guy puts the flour. Flour, water equals lisha. So says Rebbe. Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda says, no. What lisha means to mix together. If you don't mix it together, nobody's chayav. So eno chayav chikabel. Therefore, in the case of the animal, we're being matir, that that's what you need to do. So then we didn't answer it. And he said, Dilma, how do you know that? Maybe it's not Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda. Maybe, adkan lokom Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, atam, ela kemach, kabar gimel. Look, isn't there a difference between mursan, where you never turn it into a dough, it never gets sticky, the water never holds it together? So if you're talking about kemach, we're over there, the only way to really make a dough out of it is you have to knead it. So there may be, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda says, it's not called lisha until you actually mix it with your hand and you start to knead it. But mursan is not shaykh to kneading. So maybe that is the lisha, and even Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda would be made that you'd be chayav. No. That's for sure not true. The Tanya Behed, it's a beferish bright that says, Ein notni mayim lemursan devei Rebbe, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda omer, notni mayim lemursan. So you see, from here, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda does not limit his sheet at the kemach. It's even true, bemursan. Lemek et anor. Ein olim labiyom tov, v'trimit alazor mer mishum Rebbe Meir olim labiyom tov. My love, welcome if you get. Mar savat tzadim asurin, umar savat mutarin. Maybe we're talking about over here a sukkah that is screwed into pegs that are inserted into a tree. Says, Rav Amar makes no sense. It's an either or situation. Doesn't work like that. Eight favorite Mishnah. But if he had hung the basket directly, then it would have been osri, not a kosher eruv, filamata miasar tvachim, in eruv o eruv, because you can't be mishamish with the ilan to get the eruv out. For high Tana is saying, Studim are osir, and yet kashari b'tzidet studim. Omer of Papa, no, this is a different case. Alcha b'kalkula t'chukas kinan. We're over there, there's no way to avoid, when you take out the Eruv, to become a nada le'ilan. Or is therefore it's going to be mishamish, but the ilan gufet. That's why you have to be marchikit from the ilan with tzidet studim. V'yokatat studim asurim, tzidet studim are mutarim. Omer Ravashi, now that we've learned that studim are asurim, so now if you're going to put a ladder, a darga, the mitla, lo lincha inisha dikla, because then when you climb up the ladder, you're basically using tzedodim, and lo lincha agav zoi levar mi dikla, and then lean the ladder against those pieces of wood, and then litnach, when you come down, chisolik, lo lincha kare agavaz, they don't put your feet on the blocks of wood. Put them directly on the shlavei ha-sulam. Litna ha-kanim. Put on the rungs of the ladder. Matirin paki amir lifnei ha-beimah u-mefas v'sina takipin avalo et hazirin. Ein miraskin lo et ha-shachat v'lo et ha-charuvim lifnei beimah bein daka bein gasa rebiyot ha-matir b'charuvim l'daka. Omer Avuna, look, the way to understand the Mishnah is like this. Hein ein pekiyin, hein ein kipin. The only difference is pekiyin are tied on top and bottom, and kipin are tied in the middle also. But the zirin, that's already talking about small branches of wood, of areas. Vokhi kama. Matrin pekiyam mir lefnei habeim, and of course, mefas v'sin also. Vodin lekipin. Avolo et hazirin, lo lefas v'sin, v'lo latir. Because you're turning them into food. Om Rav Chista, my time Ravuna. Because over the mitrach buchav, it's already a food tarchina. But the shavuyeach, lo mashvina. Rav Yehuda Omer, I see just the opposite. Hein ein pekiyin, hein ein zirin. And the difference is that pekiyin are trei, and zirin are tlata. Kipiner da arze, valkikama. Matirin pikiya mir lifeya beima, but you cannot be mefasfes, because that's already being toreach in Oakland, which is unnecessary. Keeping this fusinami mefasfesin, because otherwise it's not even food. Avolozirin lefasfes, elalatir. Omar Rova, my time at Reviewda. Kasava shivuye uchla mashvinan midrach buchla lotachina. So now in the Mishnah, it's not in Meraskin at Hashachat v'Tacharuvim lifnei abeima ben daka ben gasa. My love, the Charuvim is dumya the shachas, just like shachas is rechiche, Charuvim is rechiche. So what do you see? Alma lotachina beuchla v'tiyufte ravuna. Alma lachravuna, no, the opposite. Shachat dumya the Charuvim, just the Charuvim are akushe, shachat is akushe. And where do you find such a thing that it should be called shachas is not usable? So that's talking about ilei zutra. That's very hard for them. Toshma reviewed a matir b'charuvim l'daka. You see, only l'daka l'gasalo. So if you're going to tell me I'm at bishlamat anakamas of a mitrach buchol l'tarchinan, and you're only allowed to make it edible and shavuya mashvinan, that would explain why reviewed says, look, if it's a young animal, so then you have no choice but to cut up the charuvim, because otherwise you won't be able to eat it. So charuvim l'daka is also called shavuya uchol. But if you're going to tell me that the Tana Kama Ot Shavuya Ochla Lo Mashvina, you can only be Mitzvah Buchla Mitrachina. So if Rabbi Yehuda's Matir B'Charuvim L'Daka, Koshken has to be Matir. Charuvim L'Gasa, it's for sure considered to be a food. Ah, I can't believe you made such a silly mistake. Don't tell me you think a Daka means Be'im Adaka. A Daka means Be'im Agasa. But my Karuvim L'Daka Agasa, because it's Daik Buchla. Yeah, it's a nice shot, except for the little problem of the ratio, where it says Bein Daka, Bein Gasa, and Rav Yehuda comes to say, but no, the Daka would be okay. I mean, Daka must be Daka Mamish Kama. Kasha. Tashma. I'm assuming that the luim is doing an avail. I mean, the veil is always soft. You're just basically softening it, cutting it up, make it easier, right? So the diluim would also be rechiches. You see that you're allowed to be toreach beuchla, which is you have to review that. On the contrary, over here in the veil of dumya the diluim, just like normal pumpkins are pretty tough to eat. So to the nevela zashuna. But where do you find a nevela that's so tough? Elephant meat. Basar pili. Inami biguriata zutri. I could be talking about regular meat, but just very young dogs. Tashmanitani rifchana minarda, mefachina tevan viaspasta, uma arvin. So you see that you can be toreach beuchla. And Tevan Betivna Sarya, which case is no raya, because you're creating the Ocho, as past you could say is talking about Ile Zutra, which for such animals as young newborn Chamorim, they can't eat without it being turned into an Eichlin. Ein of Simetakamal Velo Dorsin, Aval Malitin, Ein Mamirin Zagalim, Aval Malitin, Umalkatin the Tarnagolim. And not the mayim lemursa, avalogovli. They not the mayim lifnei dvorim, but lifnei yonim shebeshovach. But notim lifnei avazim v'tarnagolim, lifnei yonim hadari or hurdesiot. My ein of sin aval notim. So what does that mean? My ein of sin. I'm Rav Yehuda. Ein osim la evus mitoch me'er. What? It's possible such a thing? Miike kai gavnaim. And then atin another kura for the next fila. Ein ma'amirin, ezo yamra avezu hala ata, that we're distinguishing here with the agali. Well, amra ah, says Rav Yehuda, zomokum she'ini yechol alakzir, alata zomokum she'chol alakzir. Rav Yehuda, no, idivini, zomokum she'ini yechol alakzir. The difference is amra ah b'kli and alata b'yat. Moti Rav Yehuda, what do you do with the business of mahalkatin, the Tarnagolim? And over there it's Vein Tzarech Lomar Shemalkitin, Vein Malkitin Leone Shovak Leone Aliyah, Vein Tzarech Lomar Shein Malkitin. Now, how do you understand that? My Malkitin and my Malkitin. My Malkitin is definitely be a dying, and Malkitin is Shadilei Kamayu. So then that would mean that Yone Shovach and Yone Aliyah, you're not even allowed to be Mishta Kamaya Namilo. El Alav Malkitin must mean the Makam She'en Yechola Lachzir. And Malkitin is the Makam She'cholim Lachzir. In which case, Hamra Avar Chazasr must be Bekli. And to Yuftar Rav Yehuda. Omelech Rav Yehuda, no. Leola Malkitin means the Sefer L'Biyadayim. And Malkitin just means the Shodi L'Kamayu. Ah, your problem is, how is it possible that Yone Shavach V'Yone Aliyah, even L'Mishta Kamayu Namilo? That's absolutely correct. How is that? Because Ani Mizonotan Alecha, Vani En Mizonotan Alecha, Geretanya. Notni Mayim, Mizonot, rather, Lifnei HaKelet, Vein Notni Mizonot, Lifnei HaKazir. You'll ask my Hefresh Ben Zelazeh, Ze Mizonot Avalecha, Veze En Mizonot Avalecha, Amre Vashi. Matniti Nami Deka, Ein Notni Mayim, Lifnei Dvorim, Lifnei Yoneh, Shilonim Shibashovach, Avonotnim, Lifnei Avazin, Lifnei Tarnagolim, Lifnei Hordusio, the My Taima. Must be that Ani Mizonotam Alecha, Vani Ein Mizonotan Alecha. No, for the time back, I mean, why would we all of a sudden start talking about water? We'd be talking about Chita Visari Namilo. Must be that Shani Maya the Shkicha Ba'agma. Dorish Rabbiana Petra Venesia. May the Chitiv Yodea Tzadik Dindalim. Yodea HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bekeleb. She Mizonotav Muatim. Leficha Shoheh Achilato B'meyav Shosha Yanin. Kiritan Kama Tishah Achilah B'meyav. Where the animal swallowed human flesh. V'yehei Tamei. Bekeleb et Shosha Yamin. From May at late, 3 24-hour periods. But Be'alfot, B'dagim, Kadesh Dipol, or V'tisarev. Om Ravuna, you see, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is Din Dalim, that it's Urach Ar Lamishta Umtzele Kalba. The Kama, Om Rav Mori Meshach Udne, but make sure Chutra Batre. And Hanimili Bedabra. But B'mata, no. This is Tatil Misra. Om Rav Papa, let down Yami Kalba, V'leta Atir Michazira. Tanik was the Rebbe, Zoi Hamra'a, the Zoi Halata, the Hamra'az Marbitzau for Keset Pia, Umachila Kashinu Maim Bevatachat, the Halata's Machila Umad. So obviously, if you're not bringing its head back, so then you're not able to force it down. Umashka Umad, Notim Kashinim Bifneatzman, Umayim Bifneatzman, Mahalkatin the Tarnagolim, Rabbiam Rita Kamei, Damar Matitim Mani, Vomerli, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yili, the Tanya Chadnotin at Akemach, Chadnotin the Tokumai, Haharon Chayab, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yili, Amenu Chayab Achi Gabel. Well, not necessarily. Dilmat Kano Kamar Vivitzbridatam Alakemach de Bar Gibolo. But maybe Morrison, which is a lot of Bar Gibol, even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda went old, that it's awesome. No second that. It's a Tanya Behedya. Ain Nothi Mayam the Morsan de Ver Rebbe, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, even here, which is not Bar Gibol, he's nonetheless Mutter, but take Nothi Mayim the Morsan.